a prayer that is filled with hope. The Apostle Paul offers a prayer today for new believers in Christ in Romans 5, 4 through 13. His petition today focuses on bountiful hope for those followers of Christ. Paul knows that those new to the faith have no clear point of reference from which to make decisions about their Christian lives, their Christian walk. So they need Paul and his teachings. They need reminding that Jesus Christ is their role model. Kind of sounds like you and us, you and I today, doesn't it? That we've continued to need a role model to show us what it is and how to live like Christ. Facing new issues every day, they have few past experiences on which that they can compare their lifestyle, this new lifestyle that has come to them, and understand the way that opening up for their guidance. Already, Paul has experienced divisive factions and jealous strife among members in the church at Rome. As a result, Paul's prayer is genuine and needful for these new believers. So already in the church at Rome, he's had discord, he's had jealousy, he's had strife among the members, he's had division. Imagine somebody getting upset and jealous in the church. Upset about something that was done a different way. It started in the very beginning. Paul could have easily been praying the same prayer for you and I here in the 21st century today. He would not be surprised to find out that Christians continue to have a problem with the same areas in Christian living that he addressed in his prayer many, many years ago. Paul himself understood the sin nature that worked against him in serving Jesus Christ as his Lord. His prayer was voiced for the Christians at Rome that day and for all of those from generations yet to come who will overhear the scripture read and taught and spoken. Paul prays three specific requests in his scripture today. The first thing is he asks for them to be encouraged through the Word of God, to be encouraged, to find that from someone else and to be encouraged by reading God's Word. The second thing is he asks to be strengthened by cooperation with fellow believers, that we could be in peace together, that we could cooperate together, that we could work together as a body of believers and come to have a greater good. The third thing is to be empowered with the Holy Spirit, to allow the Holy Spirit to dwell among us, to fall upon us and give us the blessings that we need. So to encourage, strengthen, and empower. Wow, I think we all still need those things today, don't we? We need encouragement through God's Word. We need to be strengthened by being cooperative with those other brothers and sisters in Christ in fellowship, and we need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. You see, first, believers are to be encouraged through the Word of God. Paul's studies and experience caused him to become an expert on understanding the meaning of the Scriptures. He was equipped to relate its significance to everyday discipleship in living out his faith. So, not only by living out his faith, others could see that example. Paul's faith was a living faith, and the Word to him was life, the very fiber of his belief system. Paul based his life on of the truth that a Savior had come who would change the old system from only a certain few being allowed into the kingdom of God to a new system proclaimed in John's Gospel in the 3rd chapter, the 16th verse, that whoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So whoever. It didn't matter who you were, where you come from, where you lived, what side of the street you lived on, what side of town, how much money you had, like it had been in the old time. Here, Paul is saying, whoever believeth in him, as John's Gospel has taught us. So it's a new way, it's a new life. Paul could not keep quiet that the old law had changed to all who would receive it, who would be willing to receive this wonderful gift. To all who received Christ Jesus and a new covenant had been established. He knew and believed that a floodgate of forgiveness had opened for for the Jew and the Gentile to come to know God. Oh, what hope there was. What hope there was not only that day, but what hope there continues to be for you and I. What a blessing it is. What a gift that this treasure, this pearl, this nugget of great price found in the Scripture is there for encouragement to you and I, the believer. It is to bring us encouragement. Now, once you were nobody, but now you are somebody in the Lord, he says. Once you were far away in your sin and death, but now you have been brought near to salvation. You've been brought near to forgiveness, and you've been brought near to eternal life. Hope thou is in God. You have encouragement from the living Word of God. That God's Word is living. It's not dead. It's alive for us each and every day. I've heard people say, well, there's nothing in there but a bunch of old dead people. Why do I want to read about a bunch of old dead people who did some horrible things? We're studying the women of the Bible in Bible study on Wednesday morning. And some of them have a very rough name. Some of them have very tough names. Some of them have no name at all. And we're learning about how they were owned and how they were given. They were property. We've learned a great deal about what happens, but we also are learning about God's grace and about God's mercy. And it takes some of that horridness of going, I can't believe this, to saying, wow, look what God has done in my life. That this is the living Word of God, that it is made alive by how we live it, by how we use it, by how we show it. Next, Paul prayed for believers to be strengthened by cooperation, to be in accord with one another, to cooperate in what is going on. One must understand the singing, "We are one in the bond of love," is only a feel-good hymn if followers of Christ are not accepting of one another as Christ accepts the sinner. That we all come together, they'll know we're Christians by our love. You know that song? Well, would people really know that we are Christians by our love? Would they truly know that? If they see you out in the world today, on any given day, no matter where you are, would they know that you are Christians by your love? Think about it. When that person flies around you and then turns about 2 foot in front of you, will they know you're Christians by your love? What about the person that pulls out in front of you that doesn't stop? What about the person who's sitting at a stop sign or a stoplight and playing on their phone and doesn't know that the light has turned and everybody starts blowing the horn? Are you one of those people blowing the horn that says, would you please go on? What color, what shade you waiting for? You know, I have been known to say, are you waiting for a particular color of green? I mean, really, let's go. Move it. And I'm sure they did, because the thing about it was, it's they have no clue and they could care less, because they're in what? Their own world. And we over here are, guess what, in our world. And it's how we respond sometimes. Sometimes we can just sit there and say, well, whatever, I'm just going to go with the flow because that's all I can do. So they'll go. Then some days, maybe you're a little more, got not enough time. Maybe you've not left early enough to be somewhere. Maybe you're just pushing it. And you know what happens on those days when we push it? It seems like every obstacle in the world gets in our way, doesn't it? It's like, geez. So that's the day that maybe the Lord's trying to teach us a little something different. Maybe He's trying to strengthen us about being cooperative. He needs to kind of pat us on the back or tap us on the shoulder and say, wait a minute, calm down. Are you being Christ-like right now? And that's when you want to say, would you just calm down, please? You know, I'm not into it right now. Okay, Lord, thank you for getting on my way today, and thank you for stopping me from doing something kind of stupid, or maybe from saying something that I shouldn't say. But Paul knew a person's entire perspective must change in order to cultivate and grow a cooperative work in the body of Christ. The greatest example has been set before us. The servant model is in place. There will be no barrier too high or any argument too hopeless that believers cannot work through when we imitate Jesus' example. He is our ultimate role model. He is our ultimate example. We have Him each and every day before us if we put it there. When Christians come together in love for the Savior and with a heart to praise and glorify Christ, a unity prevails that empowers the work of God in the world around us. Unity in the church will not rest on pettiness, selfishness, jealousy, or pride. Members of the body must give up their expectation of receiving recognition and continual affirmation while performing ministry. You know, if we're doing ministry to get a pat on the back, we're doing it for the wrong reason. If we are doing ministry so others will see, we're doing it for the wrong reasons. If we do it with a heart of giving and love and we're just trying to do what we can to help others and we don't want any accolades, that's when ministry is at work. You see, immature expectations do not foster cooperation or unity, only a divisive spirit. And we don't need a divisive spirit in the house of God, in our hearts, in our minds, in our being. So each and every one of us is the house of God. We're a temple. And then whenever we come together as brothers and sisters in Christ, we come together to form a church, a community of faith, a cooperation. And we don't all think alike, thank goodness, but we all don't do things alike. But it doesn't mean that your idea is not as important as my idea. It doesn't mean that somebody over there has an idea and they're afraid to share it because if they say something, somebody's going to say, well, that's not the way we do it. Or this is the way you should do it. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes whenever we're busy, whenever we're tired, whenever we're frustrated, whenever we think we know the best way to do something. And sometimes we have to let others figure out their way to do something. And it gets done, just so the job gets done, just so that you're serving others. You see, we cannot allow ourselves to be petty. We cannot allow ourselves to be ugly to one another, to be immature. You see, Paul points out to Christians to look to Jesus for their greatest model of cooperation. The strength of the body, that is, that we have been called to cooperate. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says that we are laborers together with God. We are laborers together with God. You see, Paul prays that believers will be empowered with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will come upon them. These Christians will never be fulfilled or live the overcoming Christian life without that empowerment. We've got to have that empowerment that comes by knowing our Lord and Savior. Paul knew already that most Christians know much more than they will ever accomplish in their Christian experience. What a shame when the Holy Spirit of God stands ready to equip believers for every good work. The Lord is ready, willing, and able to equip us for every good work that He has for us. Paul testified that when the Spirit comes, not if the Spirit comes, but when the Spirit comes, that Jesus' followers will be empowered. Believers abuse and misuse the Holy Spirit by simply ignoring it. You and I ignore the Holy Spirit quite a lot in our lives. We don't have time. We let others take over instead of doing what God wants us to do. We let society and the world take precedent whenever the Holy Spirit is there and we simply ignore it. The renowned author H.G. Wells declared that a person needs power to make the secret splendor of our intentions into actual facts. In other words, we need power. We need it. But the Holy Spirit gives that power to you and I as Christians. Paul knew that by ourselves we can do nothing, but but with God all things are possible. Paul's prayer is for you and I today as believers to overflow with hope. Have you ever overflowed with hope? Have you ever watched something overflow with abundance, with water? Have you ever watched the water overflow in a bucket and comes gushing out? We talk about in God's Word to spring up, O well, within my soul, spring up, O well, and make me whole, to be overflowing with hope. With encouragement from the Scriptures, cooperation with fellow believers, and empowerment by the Holy Spirit, Paul's prayer will be answered. Our prayer will be answered. Our Christianity will be answered. When we have a prayer filled with hope, we will have it to overabundance, we will have it to overflowing. We will be empowered, we will be encouraged, and we will be strengthened. Let us pray.